Thank you for joining us. We hope this message will be a blessing to you as you experience the love of God, grow in community, and discover and live out God's purpose for your life. Guest preaching today is Chaplain Ben Quintanilla. Now, let's get into the Word.
I'd give God one more hand. Thank Him for this wonderful team. You may be seated this afternoon, morning. And it's good to be back with you all. Pastor Will is out. He is out on drill weekend. So our pastor is a reservist, a guardsman here in the state of Delaware. And so he is doing his duty right now. And then we have many of our key people from the church are also reservists. So they're over at Dover Air Force Base, and they're also fulfilling their role as reservists. And so you got me. You got Plan B right here, right? But I'm excited to be preaching to you today. I was texting with the pastor this morning, and he just says, "Remind the people to connect with God." That was what he wanted me to share with you this morning before I kicked it off. Connect with God. Tell the people to continually connect with the Lord. And the other thing that he said is the midweek service. He does a midweek little devotion that he does online. And so if you go to our Facebook page, he likes to do a Wednesday devotion. Our men also get together on Wednesdays at Starbucks locally. So connect with somebody throughout the week and then connect with us online as well. Today, I want to preach on the message, Jesus, the resurrection, and the life. And before I start, I just want to welcome all our new people here today. If you're here for the first time, we want to welcome you to Purpose Church. We are excited to have you. And again, just remember, I'm not the guy who will be here every Sunday. There's another pastor who does a phenomenal job. But on behalf of Pastor Will, his family, his wife, welcome to Purpose Church today. Oh my goodness, that was so weak. Come on, let's try again. I'm in the mood this morning. It's true. Y'all be ready. Y'all be ready. We're going to get all inside of our lives today through the Word of God. Jesus, the resurrection, and the life. But I do have to behave because I'm being videotaped as well. So pastor may fire me, and I don't want that to happen either. So I'm going to be preaching from the book of John, St. John. Let me just get my iPad open here. John chapter 11, verses 1 through 44. I won't read the whole text this morning, but I do want to give you an overview of the text, just in case you're not as familiar with it. But what we have is some sisters, Martha and Mary, sending a message to Jesus and letting them know that their brother Lazarus is sick. And so he is sick. Jesus gets the message, and he intentionally delays his move from where he is at to go and be with him. After the intentional delay, he speaks with some of the disciples, and he says, "Let's go, guys. Let's go see Lazarus." And he arrives at the scene where he meets Martha at first. And then after meeting Martha and having interactions with Martha and Mary, some discussions, Jesus shows us his humanity. As scripture says in John 11, Jesus wept. We're going to talk a little bit about that today. After he weeps, he gives a command. He says, I know he's in a tomb and there's a stone that needs to be rolled away. So he commands them, roll the stone away. He prays, and the miracle happens. As he says, Lazarus, he shouts, come forth. And Lazarus comes forth alive, and then he says, release him from his old garments. That is a quick overview of John chapter 11, verses 1 through 4. I like to set these things up initially because I know we all learn and listen differently. And so if it were up to me, I'd just get up here and I'd start going 100 miles an hour. But I know that not everybody learns well like that. So I want to set some flow that there's actually a plan here today. And so some of my goals that I've set out for you is that I want to cover this morning as you're writing notes is I want to spend some time talking about the glory of God. What is the glory of God? I want to look at Jesus as he presents himself to us in this passage as God and man. And we'll interact with that as at times he is full deity and then at times he's man. And he's emotional and yet he's both at the same time. We'll talk about that. We're going to spend a lot of time in the in-between. The in-between times of life. We'll talk about Jesus being the resurrection and the life and a little bit about faith in the waiting or faith in the in-between times. If you're taking notes, as we look at Scripture, our first point is, but for the glory of God. And this is what Scripture says. He says, now a man named Lazarus, he was sick. And he was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. Maybe you're familiar with that passage of her wiping the feet of Jesus with her perfume. Verse 3, so the sisters sent word to Jesus, Lord, the one that you love is sick. So it wasn't just Lord Lazarus is sick. It was, Lord, the one that you love, one of your favorites is sick. It wasn't the crazy disciple, it wasn't Peter who never listens, right? It wasn't Judas who betrays you. No, it was Lazarus, not even a disciple, but you're friends with him and you really love him and he's really sick, emphasizing what is going on in the life of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And when he heard this, Jesus said, this sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. Verse 5. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was for 2 more days. We will spend some time in the waiting, but let's go up a little bit. Says this sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory so that God's Son may be glorified through it. So what does all this mean? What is the glory of God? Is the glory of God the presence of God? Is the glory of God the power of God? Is the glory of God the knowing of God? What is the presence of God? So let's spend a little time in here as we answer that question. In the Old Testament, when we see and describe the glory of God, it is a weightiness. It is a heaviness. There's passages in Scripture that talk about the prophets and the people of God not even being able to stand in the glory or the presence of God. It was a heaviness. A presence that you could feel. That's what it was in the Old Testament. It was usually revealed through a presence. It was also revealed through creation. The heavens and the earth. The skies and the heavens declare the glory of God. Right? We have this language in the Old Testament. We have the language as we see a burning bush. And Moses had to take his sandals off because the place where he was standing was holy ground, the glory of God through creation, through manifestation, the parting of the seas. That was God showing up in his power and in his glory. In the New Testament, we see it similar but slightly different. We see the glory of God as a position of authority and honor. Now the glory of God takes a position of King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The splendor of the Lord. Where we hear these words, majesty, majesty, Holy, holy, holy are you, Lord God Almighty. This positional glory that is God revealing himself through his Son, Jesus Christ. I just laid a foundation this morning, a little bit of teaching before we get into the preaching. The glory of God in the New Testament is now in the person, in the Messiah of Jesus Christ, being revealed to us as God and man. It is where we get this idea of, I am in awe of you, God. Have you ever been in awe of God? It's where we get this word, awesome. We use it very loosely as I like to tell my daughters, you're awesome. Wow, but really, in Scripture, it has so much more significance. It's God, I am in awe of your splendor. I am in awe of your glory, of who you are and what you've done and how much you love us. I'm in awe of you, God, because I shouldn't be loved like you love me. Can I get an amen? Woo! Let's pause there. I should not be loved like he loves me. It says, even before he died knowing that I would sin. He died knowing that I would hurt him. He died knowing that I was going to mess up. You make the laundry list of all your mess ups. You bring it to God. He says, it's okay. I still love you. I am in awe of that God. You know, because in our earthly relationships, we mess up once or twice and we cut people off. Aha. You see, there's a time in our sermons when I feel like we're really connecting. And that one was like, all right, now we're in the same boat together. You hurt me once, you hurt me twice, and I cut you off. We do this in our families. We do this with our siblings. We do this with our cousins and with our parents, and we just cut them off. And God shows us something different in his glory. Ah, thank you, Jesus. You see, we cannot walk in forgiveness without understanding the glory and the power of God. That in his glory, he saw us as sinners, and yet redeemed us and sees us now as white as snow. That's glory. That is both power and knowledge. When we talk about the glory of God, we're talking about the omnipotent power of God. New Testament describes it as dynamite. Many of us here have served in the military or seen on CNN or Fox News or whatever flavor that you like, bombings happening in the Middle East. And you see this massive destruction that a bomb can cause when we talk about the glory of God, the power of God. It is a massive force that causes change in our life. That is the glory of God. It's powerful, omnipotent, and it's omniscient, the knowledge of God. He knows it all. And now we come back to our text. As Martha and Mary said, the one that you love is sick. We need you. Hurry up. And he says, nah, I'm up to something. Oh, I love it. And he says, as a matter of fact, I'll delay it 2 days. Not because I can, but because I love you. That's what Scripture says. He said, he loved them and he delayed. Wow. And that's the in-between space. That is the place where I believe God is most at work. In those moments in our life when, God, I don't hear you these days. Where you been? In those moments in our life when it is so painful, it's so hurtful, we're most alone. God, This is where they find themselves. This is where Martha and Mary find themselves now with Lazarus dead and Jesus delaying it because he loves them. I wonder what his love is showing. He says, I'll delay because I'm working in you. I'll delay it. God, I think sometimes I feel like God will delay things because in the delay there's a revelation of what's inside of us. What characters are going to come from us as we wait on the Lord? Is there going to be, I will bless the Lord at all times? Or is there going to be, I will bless the Lord sometimes? Amen. Is it going to be, I'm glad when they say, let us come into the house of the Lord every day? Or is it only on some days? Oh, and please don't feel like I'm preaching at you, because I'm preaching to all of us, to myself. There are days when I'm like, God, where are you? Why are you letting that happen? Don't you ever feel like that? Like, I mean, you should, daughters of God. Hey, like, I'm a daughter. I'm your daughter, God. Come on, what's up? Let's go. Let's see. Let's look at this conversation that now in verse 28. Mary starts having with God. And this is what he says. After she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary. Mary didn't want anything to do with Jesus at this time. She was mad. Mary was upset. Why did you delay it? We called you. You didn't. I sent you the email. I know you got it. The teacher's here. Martha's telling Mary's. And is asking for you. And when Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house comforting her noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. Now, but Mary had a different plan. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. I love this. I just love the humanity in this. I love the raw truth in this. How many times have we found ourselves in a situation just like Mary, saying, God, come. I thought we'd be victorious in you and through you. God, I thought there'd be healing in your glory. God, I thought there'd be provision for my life and for my children. God, I thought you would keep my marriage together. And it, God, where were you? Where are you? God, if you would have been here, God. I think it's okay to be real with God. I heard a preacher, as I was preparing for this sermon, he talked about how some of us grew up in an era where we didn't question authority. Where some of us grew up in an era where they say, you don't question God. You can't be mad at God. I think this scripture is showing us different. I think the scripture is showing us that we can have these hard conversations with God and saying, God, where were you when I needed you most? That's what's happening. The in-between spaces. Let's finish the passage here. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jew who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in the spirit and troubled. Where have you laid him? He asked. Come and see, Lord, they replied. And Jesus wept. Wow. Let's slow down. What are the in-between spaces? Bless you. The in-betweens are transitional spaces. It's like hopping onto an aircraft and it's not a direct flight. You have a connecting flight in DFW. And some people like direct flights. Others like the connecting flights. Anybody like hanging out at airports? Oh, I do. I love it. is so much fun. It's the in-between. You don't know what's going to happen. You don't know who you're going to see. You don't know what craziness is going to happen in the airport. It's so much fun. And some people be like, no, just get me where I need to go. Point A to point B. I don't need to mess around. I don't want to be around people. The in-betweens. The in-betweens. The unknown spaces of our life. The spaces that are filled with the most anxiety and fear. I would say these are the most painful spaces. Have you identified that for yourself? The in-betweens, the in-betweens. Where we can have conversations with Jesus and where he says, even though I'm fully God, I still want you to know that I feel what you feel. Guys, Jesus knew that he was the resurrection. Jesus knew this was unto the glory. Right? That's what he said. That's how it started. This will not end in death, but it is for the glory of God. He knew what was going to happen on the other side, and yet he still sat with them, and he still met them in their grief. This is really a death story, guys. This is me losing my mom. This is you losing somebody you love. This is you losing that child that you miscarried. Right? This is you losing the people that you love most. This is what's happening here. I'm sorry. I know this is hard. I know. But it's okay. We're going to get somewhere. And I just feel like because in the church, we want to get to the resurrection too fast. Amen. In the church, we want to get to the testimony too fast. That we forget that there's got to be some testing. Testing before we get to the testimony. We forget that before resurrection, there's got to be a death. And in death, there's grief. And in death, there's pain. And in death, there's loss. And there's hurt. And what do we do in the church? We have celebration of life services. I was with my friend the other day, lost his daughter at 18 years old, sitting in the funeral with him. And I understand the theology. Please don't get me wrong. But we're having a celebration of life service for an 18-year-old that died that should not have died. I want us to get to the celebration at some point, but can we be with Jesus as Jesus was and weep for a little bit? And like that we could give each other the permission to do that. That we can give each other the permission to just sit in the ashes with Job. And that we don't have to use these Christianology phrases that we do a lot. Because here Jesus is showing me that we can weep. That we can have days where we don't even want to get out of our bed. That we can have days where I don't even know if I can jump in the shower. That's what Jesus is showing us, these in-between places, man. And if you're in an in-between place of life right now, I want you to know that you are in a great place. Well, I don't feel that, chap. I want you to know because Jesus is most comfortable in those places. That's so awesome. That when you and I are not comfortable with certain things, Jesus is the most comfortable with it. And that we can have these amazing conversations with him that only he understands because he took on all of our sin. Because he took on death. the burial, and the resurrection. And he is victorious. And because he is victorious, we too will be victorious. That's a great place to say amen. Wow. This dichotomy of here we see the humanity of Christ being 1% God, which is the plan, his plan, and then 100% man, the pain. You have the plan and you have the pain. I hope you're encouraged today that even though I'm preaching something very somber, that's not where the story ends. I absolutely love watching sitcoms that you're so into. My parents used to watch something we call novelas. Y'all don't know what a novela is, maybe. Soap operas, Spanish soap operas. It's just so funny how they loved watching certain soap novelas. And so I like watching that stuff too a lot. Not novelas, but, you know, some reality TV. Anybody like some reality TV drama? It's okay. It's okay. We're in church. We can be honest with each other. Now, you get your show, that good show going, and like you're in it, right? And then right as it's ending, and we know it's going to end. Like, we know it's 30 minutes, right? 28 minutes, and we're at 27, and there's still something good. It's still something missing. Like, we're going somewhere with it. And then as it ends, as it's closing up, what do you see? To be continued. And you know, back in the days, I love saying that because it makes me feel really old. Back in the days, we didn't have on demand where you could like just stream the whole season. We didn't have that back in the day. No, you had to wait until the next week. Or if it was a season ending one, you had to wait until the next season. Oh, but I love those words, to be continued. The cliffhanger. Something is coming, and I can't see it yet. Ooh, but I know something good is coming, and I'm anxiously waiting for it to come. Woo, I don't know where you're at in life today. I'm getting excited for you because you are in a to be continued season. As long as you're connected with the Lord, hallelujah, you need to know that the in-betweens of life come to an end when you're connected to the resurrection and the life. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, I'm in the in-between, hallelujah. To be continued. To be continued, to be continued says I win. To be continued says I will see him in heaven one day. To be continued says I'm going to see mama who's in heaven. I'm going to see my daughters who are up there. To be continued says there's a power. Woo! There is a power. To be continued says I'm whole. I'm healthy. I'm whole. I'm complete. I'm in shalom because of who he is. Not because of who I am. That is the resurrection and the life. And after he weeps with them, and after he slows down with them, and after he loves them, and he's in it with them, in the in-between, he reveals that he is the resurrection and the life. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, and even though they die, and whoever lives by believing in me will never die. And then he asks, do you believe this? The resurrection. The ability to overcome death. To stand in a place of authority. Do I have any SMEs in here? You know what a SME is? A subject matter expert. Sometimes when you want to feel pretty cool, you can be like, hey, I'm a SME in this, right? That means that you have an authority to speak about something that you've spent a lot of your time learning about. You're a subject matter expert. We serve a SME in resurrection and in power and in life. And so much so that he says, I don't just want you to have life. I want you to have life in abundance. Woo! That's who we are. Because of the resurrection. He's making a statement. If I can bring Lazarus back from the dead, then be assured that I too will rise from the grave. In chapter 11, he's showing us what he can do as God and man to raise somebody from the dead. In the next chapters, he shows us that he too is a man that dies. And on the third day, we just celebrated this last Sunday, he resurrects. There was also a stone that needed to be rolled away. There was also a garment in the tomb. Look at what Jesus does. He shows us what's to come. Has God done anything in your life? Anything good at some time in your life? That's just a foreshadowing of even greater things to come. I remember when my mom had a stroke, massive stroke. That was the first time anybody in my family so close to us had been that ill. And had to spend time in the hospital. And I happened to be home, and I was studying. I think I was in seminary as well. And so my sisters come in, and there's this massive bill that we were going to have to pay the hospital so that my mom could get the rehabilitation that she needed because half of her side had just gone paralyzed from the stroke. So mom was struggling with talking, with walking, eating, so she needed rehab. And again, we'd never been through anything like this. This was probably the first huge thing that we had ever encountered. And as the siblings came together and we see this massive amount of money that we need to pay so that mom could get what she needs, and my parents didn't have insurance, medical insurance either, because dad was a small business owner, and so that's a lot of money. And again, you never expect these things in your life. I remember my sisters come into the room where I'm studying, and they're crying, and I'm wanting to join them in crying as well. But then the Holy Spirit, the power of God, just the unction, we call it sometimes, that anointing, that power just rose up within me. And I told my sisters, I said, girls, we trust in a God resurrects the dead. $100,000 is nothing for him. And we held hands and we prayed together. And we asked the Lord for his resurrection power, for his glory to show up. And we get a call later because my aunt worked at that hospital. And my aunt called us and she said, guys, you're not going to believe it. I said, no, I'm a believer. Amen, we're believers. We believe that God does the impossible. She said, somebody made a mistake. And your mom's bill is covered. She can go to rehab. Yeah, we're believers. We don't just preach it. We have to practice it. And we have to understand that there's going to be in-between times. But in the in-between, God is working. There is an intentional delay. Because he wants to see faith rise up within us. He wants to see faith rise up within us. I'll close with this. Jesus says, unbind him and let him go. See, Lazarus was alive, but he was still wrapped in the bondage of his past. And Jesus was coming to give him freedom from the bondage of his past. I think sometimes when we walk with guilt, when we walk with shame, it's because it's about us and what we did, and we carry that. But when we look at God's plan for our life, when we look at God's love for us, he says, hey, this is not about you. This is about what I want to do in and through you, so that he then gets the glory. So that he gets the glory. I'm just a short, bald, Hispanic man from South Texas. I'm not smart. I wish I were. I wish I were. I'm so intimidated by smart people. I mean, I went to school, and I think teachers let me pass. I paid for my degrees. You know, you can, as long as you pay them, they'll let you pass these days. Again, like just really not anything special. And I don't say this to brag. Usually when people say they don't want to brag, they're going to brag. So I'm going to brag a little bit. But God has given me the opportunity these days to stand before great people. To stand before presidents of our nation. To stand before generals of our nation, to stand before the highest ranking political people, just this short little brown bald guy. And I say, I don't belong there, ma'am. I don't fit in that room. Have you ever felt that way? I'm just using this as an illustration. Miss Meek, I don't belong there. She's gonna say, yes, you do. My cousins are drug addicts and drug dealers. My uncles are strung out on drugs. That's where I belong. But for the grace, for the resurrection power of God, so that God would get the glory. This is what I do. The highest ranking member in our nation, I tell him, sir, I'm going to lead you to this family, and I will give you 5 minutes with them. At 5 minutes, I'm going to come and get you. If you're not ready, wave me off. I'll give you 2 more minutes, sir, but then at that point, we have to move. Who am I to be telling that man what to do? But for the glory of God. But for the glory of God, because it's not me. It's the Jesus that lives in me. Listen, I only share that with you about me because you are the same thing. You might have the same story that I'm saying. I don't belong in that room. I don't belong in that job. That row is too high for me. I have imposter syndrome these days, right? Oh, I don't belong in those places. No, you don't. You're right. But for the glory of God, you do. Come on. Somebody get excited about Jesus. And his resurrection power. You're right. I've done so much bad that nobody should love me. But for the glory of God. Some of you men, you look at your wife today and you're like, how did this happen? Think about my beautiful wife. Now I'm just talking. So y'all just bear with me. I told you I was in a mood. Look at my wife, and I just think, that God would give me someone so loving. I don't deserve that. She says I'm ornery. I don't even know what that word means. And you, I'm only saying this because you're the same, right? Some of you look at your spouse, your partner, and you're like, yeah, I don't deserve. Amen, right? I get it. Yes. And vice versa. Some of you women, you know, you look at that handsome stud that God has given you, and I don't deserve this. How'd I get so blessed? You say amen, women. Come on, you say amen. But for the glory of God. Wow. I think God's doing something right now. I know I'm talking and I'm just having fun, but I feel like the Lord is doing something right now. For our singles, our single people in here, and don't set the bar so low. You know, we don't want no scrubs. See, I'm preaching good. Come on. Hallelujah. But what's God doing in the in-between in our lives? Are we getting it? Are we getting ourselves right?
Thank you once again for listening to Chaplain Quintanilla's message. We hope it has been a blessing to you today. Our goal is to help you experience God's love, grow in His love, and live out His purpose for your life. Join us next Sunday as Pastor Will returns. For more information, encouraging messages, and events, please visit us online at purposechurchde.org.